Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios, overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this waning dystopia, it's episode number 369 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the Crap Bag discusses Kellen Moore's bold idea. At 12:30, the Longhorns end the season on a positive note, while Dallas loses an ugly one on Thanksgiving. And in mere minutes, Lincoln Riley shocks the sports world by bolting Norman for SoCal. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me today is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
You damn right. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. We are back and ready to roll, and there's all kinds of football stuff to get into, including the Lincoln Riley thing. But let's start with some Thanksgiving double check. Trey, how are you, sir? How was Thanksgiving? Did you eat too much? Not enough? What happened?
Thanksgiving was great, Chad. We traveled to your neck of the woods, at least your neck of the woods when you were in college, to College Station.
There you go.
For the day for a big family gathering that we get to partake in every couple of years at my aunt and uncle's really nice house there. It's on property, and it was just a wonderful gathering, getting to see so many people that we just haven't had a lot of opportunities to do so with over the last 21 months. And yeah, did I make some really poor food choices on Thursday? I did.
Yeah,
I was feeling okay after going back for thirds of the main courses, but it was after dessert number, I don't know, six or seven that I started to regret things. But fortunately, the day justifies the gluttony.
You had seven desserts?
Didn't justify the six desserts that I had the next day after I thought I'd go all day without eating anything.
That just
evolved into something pretty bad as well. But hey, the day calls for it, and more important than the food is the thanks that we got to give with those that we love the most.
Absolutely, yeah. So hope everybody got some good food in them. Also, let's not bury the lead too far. Congratulations to Trey for making a little bit of ground quietly. Quiet as it's kept under the radar. He's creeping in the Coors Light six-pack picks. He gained a game on me and Isaiah. So you're only four back of Isaiah now. You're only two games back of me. For second place, you're making a little move here.
In the words of the great Bill Murray in a movie that you don't care about very much, what about Bob? Baby steps.
Baby steps. That's right. Baby steps. We also had a 3-2 week in the Supreme picks. We missed the Ohio State pick. Thank God, because that was so much fun watching Michigan win that game.
Yeah.
And we did pick the Cowboys to beat the Raiders. So we'll get to that. But we did.
Those are justified misses.
They
by
were.
The way.
And they
even,
were.
And even Tom McKay, who I am thankful has been providing me his picks all year, he's like, look, I'm probably going to get the Ohio State game wrong. Good. I'm glad about it. Anybody
yes.
who had picked Ohio State in that game, unless you're a Buckeyes fan, is like, I'm okay being wrong about this
yep.
one.
Thrilled. We got the Oklahoma State pick right. You guys talked me into the Bucks pick. I'm glad that was right because I enjoyed watching the Bucks find a way yesterday. And then Green Bay did handle the Rams in Lambeau.
You feel better about your Bucks right now? Considering that was a pretty big win. Going into Indy like that, everybody was picking the Colts in that game.
It was big. I feel a little bit better. The thing that the Bucs do well is the Bucs can win games that aren't beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They can win mucked up, messed up, bar fight, broken bottle games. And that's what you have to be able to do in the NFL. Are they perfect? No. But I don't see any team right now that is truly perfect. There's teams that are coming on right now. There's teams that are a little shaky, but the Bucs, with that guy taking the snaps, with that defense that can always step up and make a play, they feel pretty solid right now. I don't know that they're the best team out there, but they're going to be a tough out.
I think Green Bay is the closest we have to a best team right now.
You're probably right.
But yeah. Even they have shown flaws throughout the year with the couple of losses that they have on the schedule. But yeah, Tampa really benefited from second half Carson Wentz yesterday.
They
Carson
really
looked
did.
Really good in the first half.
Yeah.
Reverted back to his old self to help the Bucs put that one away.
And nothing is helping the Bucs now right now more than all four quarters Leonard Fournette.
Oh my goodness.
Good grief.
And they're turning to him too. His usage over the last 3 weeks since they came off bye. There was a concerted effort to get him the football more, not just handing it off, but also through the air, too.
After my wife's Steelers did not have a good Sunday, I knew that my wife had not looked at her fantasy stuff, but I knew she had Leonard Fournette. So when the game was just about to end, I said, hey, go look at your fantasy update. She's like, well, why? Well, I was like, Leonard Fournette had a day for you. She pulls it up and like her eyes bug out of her head. She's like, oh my God, he got me 30 something a couple weeks ago, but it was like 44. He got her like 44, 45 points yesterday.
Yeah, not to rub it into Wendy with the real football, but I had Joe Mixon yesterday, so you can imagine how happy I was to see his stats. They paled in comparison to what Fournette did.
And I tell you what, the Bengals were ready to play.
Yes, they were.
They reminded me of Michigan. Early in the game, both those teams just had a little edge to them where that other team wasn't quite ready to get started. And by the end of it, the Buckeyes, to a smaller degree, but the Steelers, to a big-time degree, were definitely not ready.
That's a good way to put it. And with Cincinnati, we talked about this last week. Which of those teams in the AFC North do you feel the best about? Because you don't feel great about any of them. But if there is that team for me, it still is the Bengals. Obviously, nothing is going to change after what they did to Pittsburgh. And the Steelers, they, I think, should be resigned, the franchise and their fans, that this is it for Big Ben. And so you're going to try and let him go out in as classy a manner as possible and just understand that you're not really even competing for a playoff spot after the next couple of weeks go the way they probably will.
No, I think you're right. They're still technically in that group that's referred to as in the hunt, but I don't think they're going to be there by the end. We'll get to some more of the game discussion, but let's go ahead and get into our spec set piece because Longhorn fans got two pieces of good news over the long weekend. Let's go.
The Specs Set Piece is brought to you by Specs Wine, Spirits, and Finer Foods. Cheer on Verde with Specs' larger selection of world-class wines, spirited spirits, and craft beers. Score more at Specs, official partner of Austin FC.
So we'll get to the Longhorns game itself, where they did break the losing streak and beat Kansas State. But then yesterday, Trey, right in the middle of my NFL watching is when I found out I'm not one that's on Twitter during a game. But I'll see updates every once in a while during a commercial, click on stuff. And when I see that pop up, it was a jaw dropper. Lincoln Riley to USC. So he really, I don't know if he meant to do it this way, but in the postgame presser after losing Bedlam, he stopped a guy mid question. I think it was Kerry Murdock, who's Sooner Scoop, I think. I can't remember which one Kerry works for.
Who is also just doing a really bad job of getting the question out, too.
Right, yeah, exactly. He's stumbling, trying to figure out how to ask it. And Lincoln just stopped him and said, hey, Kerry, let me help you out. I'm not going to be the next coach at LSU. At that point, it kind of stopped all other questions because you can't just start going down a list.
You could.
You could if you wanted to, but that would be a really weird way to go about it. Well, what about other jobs, coach? Are you for sure? You could have done it, but the very next day we find out Lincoln Riley is going to USC. Talk about going big game hunting and big fish fishing for the USC crew. That's a big get.
Hindsight is obviously 20/20, but the level of emotion that he showed when making that statement perhaps should have lent itself to a question of might you be someplace else in literally just 2 days, because he looked a little bit choked up as he was saying, I'm not taking that LSU job. And it's like, why would you be emotional like that if you are saying that you're going to stay someplace? But maybe he knew deep down that all that had to do was him sign a contract, that perhaps there was an oral agreement in place and he would be bolting Norman.
Yeah, and so Longhorn fans, you can let us know your reaction, because I would think in general, it's something Longhorn fans have joked about, Trey, for years now. Every time the Cowboy situation would get weird, it was like, hey, what about Lincoln Riley? What about the Lincoln Riley situation?
Mm-hmm.
So now, not only is Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma, he's not going to be involved moving forward in the SEC that Texas is going to be moving into. And so if you were a Longhorn fan that wanted Lincoln Riley out of your hair, this will do it. There's a lot of reactions coming off of it. By the way, somebody just texted us, Rattler entering the transfer portal.
Just saw that too.
That's expected. People expect Caleb Williams to jump into the transfer portal and maybe go to USC.
Oh my gosh, this is going to turn south for this program really quickly.
Yeah. Already today, as we sit here, I'm counting six recruits that have decommitted. Yesterday, it was a big-time quarterback from Cali, a big-time running back from Cali, and then two others. And then today, it's two more 22 kids that are decommitting. And so I think this is going to it's going to start happening very, very quickly. You're going to see in this day and age, all the technology and it's funny, Trey, the kids aren't even beating around the bush. The kids are saying, hey, because of what just happened, I'm going to open up my recruitment. Hey, because of what just happened, I'm decommitting from OU. A big part of it for me was the coaches, the coaching staff, and the stability there. So, yeah, what just happened, I'm going to decommit. They're being real about it.
On the one hand, I get that Lincoln Riley was the guy. On the other hand, if you care that much about the school to want to commit to them to begin with, don't you exhibit a little bit of patience to see who they're going to be replacing them with? Unless you've already been in touch with Lincoln Riley and his staff that he's taking with him to the Trojans, and they've assured you that you're going to have a spot there.
Somebody texted, oh, you will be fine. We need to worry about our own ship, a Longhorn fan, we assume. Got to take as many recruits as we can. And then somebody else texted, Lincoln Riley just showed everyone he is terrified of the SEC. I've heard that narrative being thrown out this weekend.
I've also seen some Sooners fans suggest that he was openly unhappy about the move to the SEC to the degree that he would consider a job in a different conference where it wouldn't be as difficult to remain good year after year. And I guess if there is that conference right now, it's the Pac-12,
yeah,
which most years isn't even in consideration for a college football playoff spot.
And Trey, here's what else he's done. I'm reading comments from some of these recruits. He has stopped them in their tracks. These are California kids. We're watching now California kids going to Clemson, California kids going to Tuscaloosa, and going to Norman and other places. These California kids that were ready to go to Norman and play with him, they have now stopped, and they're saying things like, oh, this is a big deal for the Pac-12. Oh, this is a big deal for USC.
Yeah.
To get a name. It's like, really? Okay, so that's how important he was to these recruits, and all of a sudden that he could kind of rekindle this historic program in the Pac-12. It's a huge swing, theoretically, and it will also have effects for guys like Saban, Dabo, Ryan Day, and others that have been grabbing these California guys. If now the California quarterbacks are going to say, wait, hold on, wait a second, Coach Saban, before I leave the zip code, Coach Riley needs to talk to me.
Yeah, that's a big deal, and it's also huge for the Pac-12, too. If he can do a version of what he's done in the Big 12 for these last several years now, you are just re-legitimizing what the Pac-12 hasn't been for a long time now. And that's a conference that deserves a little bit of respect in football. Oregon gets that to a degree, but then they'll just drop the random game to a Utah, let's say. Utah has had their moments in the last few years, but the Pac-12 has been so bad in football these last few seasons. If Lincoln Riley can bring USC back to prominence, it will help that conference out on the whole.
And they are the only, I mean, sometimes it's UCLA. It has been in our lives. Oregon, like you just said, a little, but they are the one blue blood massive brand in that conference.
Mm-hmm.
So what he has to hope for is that he gets the same love he gets right now at Oklahoma. If you're running your conference and you've got that name behind you, we probably have to let you into the playoff. And he'll also hope it expands. If he gets an expanded playoff, he's set.
So he had a version of that at Oklahoma as well. Now, how often did they make it into the playoff over the last... How long was he at OU? 5 years?
Right. So he made it, what, three times?
You make it three times in 5 years?
I think that's right.
For some reason, I was thinking two. But yeah, three times in 5 years, that's pretty good percentages for anybody outside of Tuscaloosa, Clemson, or I guess Ohio State. But this is a year where none of those three teams are in. So yeah, Lincoln Riley at USC only enhances his ability to get into the playoffs. There are very few programs that might do that from Oklahoma. USC is probably one of those, though.
Somebody texting in the recruiting angle again. He can't get all of them. Got to get some of those recruiting victories. And also, Trey, people are trying to figure out who ends up at Oklahoma. Somebody wants John Blake hired. you know, there's all kinds. I think John Blake might be dead. We may want to double-check that. I'm not sure.
If not, you're on the hook for the next 2 weeks.
I might be on the hook, yeah, for that. But somebody else texting that Rattler is in the transfer portal. That is not unexpected. So Oklahoma is now, and by the way, if you haven't heard, Bob Stoops, not a joke, Bob Stoops is going to coach the bowl game.
Yeah.
So now the issue is, I mean, this is we talk about coaching dominoes. This is a massive hole that just opened up. historically in the world of college football with everything they have. Oklahoma is a monster job. And Trey, I've yet to hear a name big enough. I've not heard one big enough yet. I've heard all kinds of names throughout yesterday and today. I have not heard one that I think is big enough for OU.
You are right about that. But OU, let's remember, is not afraid to not necessarily chase after a big name in finding that next head coach. And they've been great at doing that over time. Obviously, the two biggest examples are Bob Stoops and Lincoln Riley. Now, Lincoln Riley was within the program. He was the OC when Bob Stoops decided to abruptly retire. But Bob Stoops came as a DC from Florida, and he had done a great job at Florida, but he had never been a head coach before. A name that really makes sense to me right now, based on all of that, is Luke Fickell. A guy who has been rumored for big-time jobs going back a couple years now.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
Hasn't taken one just yet. And he's, I think, the last remaining realistic name, perhaps other than Jimbo, that LSU is considering right now. But considering that LSU is dragging their feet, you were telling me about this before the show, because Woodard is trying so hard to get Jimbo to Baton Rouge, perhaps they end up losing out on Luke Fickell to the Sooners. I think that's the guy that makes the most sense in Norman right now. We're saying Sonny Dykes' name, which makes me scoff.
Sonny Dykes needs to be happy he's going to Fort Worth.
Absolutely. Cliff Kingsbury, which he's in a great situation in the NFL, also seemed very tired of coaching at the college level. Also, that'd be a terrible hire for Oklahoma.
Yeah, I don't think that'd
Luke
work.
Fickell is the one name right now that really lands just in terms of what Oklahoma is trying to do and trying to sustain the success that they've been showing for going on multiple decades now.
Somebody, this may be an OU fan, says yes on Fickell. Dude is a beast as a coach. That's an interesting name, and also he's in a good spot to finish off nicely. Cincinnati got another big win, and I mean big, like multiple score win. If they can do the same thing to Houston in that conference title game, Trey, I think they have a good shot to make the playoff. They're going to need a couple things. It would have to go really weird for them. Number one, they're rooting for Georgia hard. They need Georgia to take Bama out of the discussion. And then at that point, I think they might be okay, because Notre Dame won't have a data point. And even if Oklahoma State won, I think there'd still be a spot for Cincinnati.
Yes, yeah. Alabama losing is their direct path into the playoff, assuming that they win their championship
game. They
got to
win. Right.
Brandon Lang, a few weeks back, said Cincinnati will lose a game before it's all said and done. So we'll see if that happens. There are a lot of people rooting for that to happen. If I'm being completely honest, I'm one of those people. I want to see the G5 removed altogether from the playoff conversation, even an expanded playoff. But hey, if they make it in, I will certainly be rooting for those underdogs. And if they make it in, they probably wouldn't even be the 4 seed at that point. So they may have a chance to win the game, too. Whoever goes against Georgia is just going to get curb stomped.
All right, we're getting multiple Stoops ideas in. Mike Stoops has been suggested. I've actually seen, on the serious side, I've seen Mark Stoops on a list or two. Of course, he's at Kentucky. Trey, here's the first time I've seen this name. How about Art Briles to OU?
Oh!
Oklahoma fans, are you good for... No?
Oh, man.
He's willing to... He'll take your call. No? Okay.
That would definitely keep the offense clicking without missing a beat.
They'd keep a lot of things clicking if they went with that idea. Josh Heupel at Tennessee has been mentioned.
Yeah, Heupel is another name that my Sooners buddy JC mentioned to me yesterday. That would make a lot of sense, considering that he does have experience as a head coach at college. He's familiar with Norman, and now he does have some experience in the SEC, too.
You know who else I'm hearing teams are sniffing around on? Bill O'Brien.
Ugh.
Dude, Nick Saban is a magic man. How does he do this? Rod always talks about the coach cleaning service he provides. Really? Just 1 year as the OC at Bama and all of a sudden you might want him to be a head coach in college again?
They kept showing him in the coach's booth in that game on Saturday, that Alabama game, as Alabama's offense was not doing very good. I'm like, yeah, this is when you need to be showing Bill O'Brien, so somebody doesn't get duped by him again.
Somebody else, multiple people are texting us, throwing out Kellen Moore's name.
Kellen Moore, that's an interesting one. I've also heard Joe Brady, too. See, I just don't know how either of those guys is going to properly manage a college program. Like, Joe Brady obviously has the college experience. Kellen Moore won a lot as a quarterback in college, but do those guys understand how to run a big-time program as a head coach?
Yeah, here's the other name I'm hearing, and I know why it's being mentioned, but is he really ready? Brett Venables? Really?
I saw
you want his first head coaching job to be OU?
Yeah.
And I know you're, because what you just said a while ago is so right. Because Stoops, that was his first gig. Lincoln Riley, that's his first gig. But are you sure you can do it three times in a row?
Does he strike you as a Dave Aranda type? Guy who was a DC for a while, finally got that opportunity and really ran with it. Venables doesn't strike me as that.
And do you want to go defensive? Or do you want to keep the offensive thing going? That'd be my other question.
If you go defensive, you have to make sure that you have a savvy offensive mind coming in.
Yeah, because you just got beat in your rival game by a team that went defensive. Mike Gundy went the other way.
And he still is the offensive guy.
And he's still that offensive guy. So maybe you think about it in those terms.
I can't wait to see who lands in Norman. And on the one hand, I'm bummed for my Sooners friends that they had their hearts ripped out like this, because this really does suck. Any Sooners fan that's upset today, you completely understand
totally
it, because you got blindsided with this move yesterday. As a Longhorn fan, oh my God, do these Sooners tears taste sweet.
Yeah. Well, Trey, I read the last time a guy left the Oklahoma football job by choice and then coached somewhere else the next year, 1972. It's been that long.
Is that right?
You don't leave this program. They fire you from this program. They decide you're done or you mutually decide to part ways. Nobody goes from Oklahoma to anywhere else.
Mm-mm.
It's a monster job. And so, yes, it is a kick to the face to Oklahoma fans. I was texting with one of our guys that works with us. It's an Oklahoma guy. I'm like, dude, how are you today? And he just texted back, shocked. That's all I can say. And he was just stunned.
Considering what Lincoln Riley has done with that program and how much better it was about to be, because he was really starting to bring in recruiting classes. I mean, you talked about it with some of the kids who decommitted. Top-rated quarterback in the class of 2023, top-rated running back. He had another class of receivers that were coming in, I think, in this class, three more five-stars. So whatever perils the offense was going through over these last couple of years, that was going to get corrected. It really does strike me that he did not like the idea of Oklahoma moving to the SEC, and that's a big catalyst.
Could be.
And him jumping ship to Southern Cal, on top of the fact that, let's be honest, if you're talking about living in Norman, Oklahoma, versus Los Angeles with making millions upon millions of dollars a year to do so, it's a pretty easy decision, even in this COVID era.
Yeah, I've definitely heard that conversation today as well. All right, let us know what you think. Specs text line 337-3776. Longhorn fans, you get a win and break the losing streak. Plus, Lincoln Riley is headed to USC. Give us your reaction on that. We'll talk about the Texas win. We'll talk about the Cowboys' loss on Thanksgiving, and they keep losing things like coaches leading into their next game. We'll get into that. Plus, in the crap bag, I got some news for you, Cowboys fans. Kellen Moore has a wild idea. I'll tell you if it's ever worked. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Just getting started on a Monday. What do you got, Trey?
New Music Friday on a Monday, Shad. Starting with Fantastic Negrito. When Everything Went Wrong.
All right. There you go. New music out there on a Friday. We'll give it to you on Monday most of the time, actually, to remind you what's happening. Big, long weekend, crazy weekend of football. And as we come out of it, we hit Cyber Monday. Go to hornfm.com and flexatx.com for our Cyber Monday stuff. 25% off Horn hats. There's a new black Horn hat you may want to check out. Use the promo code HORN25, no space, HORN25 for the code to get 25% off. Also 25% off all Flex ATX merchandise with the promo code FLEX25. That's FLX25. Shop now at HORNFM.com and FLEXATX.com. Just in time for the holidays, Cyber Monday on the Horn and Flex ATX. It is that day where everybody jumps online to get the best deals. You got anything? You got your eye on anything for Cyber Monday?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I'm putting together a home gym right now, and
Okay.
Oh my God, is that expensive?
Nah.
So yes, every little deal I can get on free shipping or 10% off here or there, yes, I will take that.
Have you seen that since the Peloton type idea has really taken off, that now there's a rowing machine version?
That's not surprising. It's smart, whoever did that.
But I don't know is, if I'm on the rowing machine version and there's a screen in front of me, does the screen interact, like, does it interact as if I'm in the water going backwards?
I'm sure they have that option.
And they have the cityscape up in front of me? Is that what it is?
I'm sure.
Oh, okay. All right.
Maybe there's another crew team next to you.
Yeah, I can look to the left and right.
Perhaps you can see your coxswain at the edge of the boat. Is the coxswain in the front or the back?
I do not know. It's a great word, though.
The only reason why I said it is because I love the word coxswain.
It sounds dirty and it's not.
It can be dirty.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But in boating terms, it's not.
Well, even in boating terms, if you're at the back of the boat like that, you're getting splashed with a lot of dirty river water.
That's true. Then it's dirty. Then it's just literally dirty. I hope you're having a good Cyber Monday. If you're a Longhorn fan, you're having a pretty good Monday because Lincoln Riley is leaving Oklahoma. Some thought is that he just didn't like the idea of the SEC and he wanted to move on and get away from that whole thing. And he said, you know, he was quoted as talking about USC being an unparalleled in the college football landscape, and it was a big middle finger to OU, LSU, and anybody else. However you want to look at it,
yeah.
He is going from one blue blood to another, to the West Coast blue blood in USC. But the other reason, Trey, that Longhorn fans at least had a little bit of goodness over Thanksgiving is they did find a way to break that losing streak.
Yeah.
And I know I've heard, what it was weird, all last week when I heard people say 5-7 is different than 4-8, 5-7 will feel different than 4-8, I rolled my eyes every time I heard it because I thought, it's not really going to matter. But at the end of the game, I thought, no, it kind of matters. It does. Because 4-8 is pretty distinct, and 5-7 at least then, 5-7 feels like there's just a couple things that could get you to 500 and then beyond. So I would agree that the 5-7 does matter, and they actually played some of that complimentary football at times when they needed it that Sark keeps talking about. So, never apologize for a win, but I thought 5-7, hopefully it will matter for them moving forward.
Much more than the 5-7, to not have to spend all offseason talking about this team losing 7 in a row to end the previous season. That is an enormous deal. And I was actually at the game on Friday, Chad. I went with my friends from Whitestone, Ryan, Danielle, Kevin, his wife, Steven was there. Just great people. Cannot recommend Hopwater enough. Check it out, HEB. Total Wine & More. You can go by the headquarters on 1431 in Cedar Park. But we were blown away by some individual efforts by guys, some of whom were seniors and some of whom were named Roshan Johnson. Oh, my goodness. That guy is a battler. And I gained a little bit more faith in this team a few weeks ago when the conversation of vocal leadership came up, and I learned that Roshan Johnson is one of the most vocal guys in the locker room, a guy to get other dudes inspired, and I think his effort really paved the way for everybody else on Friday.
Yeah, isn't it weird that it took all of that to really get Steve Sarkisian and the offensive staff to try new stuff? It took that. It took the starting quarterback being not compromised but questionable to where you got to protect him. The backup couldn't even go, and you had your best running back is out. You got all the things that they had going on. It took all of that to get to, okay, now we're going to have to try this. Now we're going to have to try more Wildcat. Now we're, what do you call it? The Rocat. Going to have to try a little bit more of that. The man got 31 carries. I was wondering what Bijan was thinking, watching the game from the sideline. Hey, I remember the last time I got this many carries. Well, we won the game.
Well, not just that, but why wasn't this guy spelling me a little bit more to where I could have been a bit fresher in the second half of the season? And if there's anything that's more concerning for me with this coaching staff from this season than anything else, even more so than the 6-game losing streak, losing to Kansas, it's that these coaches, the coordinators especially, didn't seem to always work within the confines of what the roster was giving them. And when Roshan Johnson went a spell in the middle of the year, after that TCU game, mind you, which Bijan Robinson put this team on his shoulders and ran them to a victory, literally getting that game-sealing run at the very end, he was clearly affected after that. And even though he was getting a big run here or there, there were plenty of runs where you could see that he just maybe needed a little bit more of a break in between series, and Roschon Johnson would have been a perfect complement to him on that. And we knew that from watching Roschon a little bit this year, but also seeing him in the past and just how hard and punishing a runner he is. And I can only dream of now that this coaching staff would have figured out running the Rocat a little bit earlier in the year, earlier in games, in non-short yardage situations where Roschon Johnson standing back there, you have Bijan Robinson next to him, and you're sending either an Xavier Worthy or a Keelan Robinson in motion. Like, I realize that's simple, but guess how dynamic that is. Look at all the different pieces that defenses are having to prepare for, especially when you're struggling to throw the football like Texas was at so many different points throughout the year. The TCU game is obviously one example. Iowa State is another. There were moments where the passing attack did look decent, but especially after Jordan Whittington went down in that Oklahoma game, just to try and control the clock and keep your defense as fresh as possible. I just wish they'd figure that out sooner.
The other thing you take advantage of in this game is no Skylar Thompson. Howard's got to play quarterback. You let him have the one run. But other than that, Trey, the defense for Texas was really impressive, because what K-State wants to do to you is just stay out there and move the sticks. 1-for-9 on third down, 0-for-2 on the fourth down plays, and Texas hung on for 34 minutes of time of possession. And they've been giving up 32 a game. To keep it at 17 and to take a team that's supposed to be clunkier than you and make them look clunkier than you, I thought that was a small victory too. Get the win, hold them to 17, because if you tell me that, if you tell me at kickoff Texas scores 22, I'd have probably picked them to lose it. I wouldn't have thought that would hold on. I would think that Kansas State still wins the game.
Yeah, if Skylar Thompson plays in that game, Texas loses. I was speaking with my buddy Jack as I was walking to the stadium on Friday, and he's like, "What do you think? Does Texas have more of a chance if Skylar Thompson can't play?" And I've been so out of touch, with this football team late in the year, I just don't care anymore, that I didn't even know that was a possibility. I'm like, are you kidding me? If Will Howard is Kansas State's starting quarterback, absolutely Texas can win that game. He sucks. And I'm a little bit surprised that Chris Klieman hasn't upgraded at the backup quarterback position based on what he saw out of Will Howard last year. And I realize he maybe flashed a little bit at the end of the season, but he still was not good at all.
And then you also benefited, if you're a Texas fan, on those two fourth down plays. A, your defense did stand up both times. Yeah. But two, Kansas State was doing their best Texas impersonation from earlier in the season. If you're going to go on fourth down, run a dumb play. They did it twice. By the way, when the magic of, just for K-State fans that are listening, if the magic of Deuce Vaughn is that he gets lost in the woods, why would you direct snap it to him on a fourth down where I know exactly where he is? You might as well put on one of those old school orange flags we used to put on bicycles on the guy at that point. How in the world is that the best way to run Vaughn?
So stupid. I'm glad you pointed that out. And then also the option play that they tried to run the second time.
So dumb.
Texas, because Texas could see him because he wasn't lost in the woods.
Right.
They could easily contain him and force Will Howard back inside, and he had no chance at that point.
Could have put a blinking light on his head. He wouldn't have been easier to see than he was on those plays.
Yeah, Klieman bailed Texas out on both of those calls.
But the good news there was a defensive front that needed some confidence. They stepped up. Guys like Coburn and Amade getting to make plays like that was big. That's offensive line, right? Ojemo,
yeah.
It's defensive line. Yeah, so those guys getting to step up. And I thought Jones being back was key. He made some plays. He brought some energy. So that was good. To get to 5-7, by the way, it won't be a bowl game in case you haven't done the math. They needed 81 teams. 84 teams ended up at 6 wins or more.
Thank God.
So Texas won't get the bowl invite. Trey, you're not going to have to go through that. I would have hated that for you and all Longhorn fans, because you don't want to have a 5-7 team going to a bowl.
Sitting here waiting to do the local post game on Friday, and Craig kept asking, and this is what he's supposed to do. He's the team's play-by-play guy. He kept asking those guys about if they would want to go to a bowl game at 5-7. And I was like, Craig, I know this is your job, but please, just once, can you not do your job well? And Kevin and I talked and had a little bit of fun with it after the network post game was over with. But I'm just thankful that Texas doesn't have to subject themselves to that, because all that's going to be, win or lose, Did Nebraska win their 5-7 bowl game a couple years ago?
Don't even remember.
Nobody remembers. Nah, what people remember is that they went to a bowl game at 5-7. I don't want that one more joke that could be told about the Texas football program, and now we don't have to worry about it.
I agree with you. I think that's going to be a good thing.
Hey, real quick, you just mistook him for more a Jomo for a second, but I did want to give a special shout out to Tope Amade. Watching in the stands, it was clear that guy left everything out on the field for his final home game and final game as a Longhorn. Big tip of the cap to Tope Amade. He got hurt at one point in the game, and it looked like it was pretty significant, and he was limping the rest of the way as well, but he was also fighting his ass off. Just singling individuals out like Jacoby Jones, who did make that sort of an impact. I think that his teammates really fed off of what Tope Amade was putting into that game, and he is a big reason why they were able to win on Friday.
Yeah, it was a real basic thing for me. I did Bucky's Three Keys to Victory. He was doing Lake Travis game, and I made, you know, key number one, block, key number two, tackle, and key number three, care if you don't do those things. And they did. They blocked a little better, they tackled a little better, and they adjusted when they weren't. That's what they needed to do, and they got the win.
There are plenty of questions that we will be asking about Texas football heading into this offseason later this week and for the next several months, but we're not going to go overboard with the Texas football chatter today. There's a lot more going on in the world of sports.
There's a lot going on, yeah, including the Cowboys dropping one on Thanksgiving. We'll get into that a little more. We will talk some Longhorns coming up at 1 with Joe Cook of Inside Texas and On3.com. But up next in the crap bag, Cowboys fans, I got something for you to worry about more than Mike McCarthy missing the game against the Saints. There's a storm coming, and you probably need to realize it. I'll tell you what it is next on the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
It is Monday. Trey's got some new music for you. Who is it, Trey?
Wolf Mother, Midnight Train.
Wolf Mother. I do dig Wolf Mother. I need to listen to more of this band. I never hear something by them I dislike.
Agreed.
I always enjoy it. Wolf Mother. New Wolf Mothers out there. It's even fun to say. All right, hope you're having a good Monday. It is Cyber Monday. Remember to check out hornfm.com and flexatx.com. Use the promo code HORN25 for those discount on horn hats and other gear on the Horn site, and use the code FLEX25, FLX25 at FLEXATX for all that cool Flex merchandise on that side of things. So check it out, Cyber Monday on the Horn and FLEXATX. All right, let's get into the crap bag, because there's a big problem, Cowboys fans, and it's got nothing to do with COVID.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. So, yes, Mike McCarthy is not coaching on Thursday night. There's multiple coaches now. I think it's up to four or five coaches that won't be in, and that's the bad news. Good news, hopefully, for the Cowboys. Also, Terrence Steele is in the COVID protocol. He won't play, but they are hoping to get Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb back. But to me, there's a bigger issue if you're a Cowboys fan right now. I told you, if they lost to the Raiders, concern would be needed. And Trey, concern is needed. Here's what's happened the last two games. Without CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper available, Kellen Moore just threw the ball 43 times against Kansas City and 47 times against the Raiders. All right? He ran it 16 times and 20 times in those games. He targeted Cedric Wilson the exact same number of times he handed it to Tony Pollard. He targeted Noah Brown the exact same number of times he handed it to Ezekiel Elliott. That's not me guessing. That's a real thing. Those are numbers. So I decided to take a look. Here's the facts. In the wins this year, they averaged 26 runs, 39 passes. In the losses, they average 18 runs and 47 passes average. So There's something happening here, and I'm just letting all Cowboy fans know. Because, Trey, I don't know if you know it, Cowboy fans like to joke about Jason Garrett. We love doing it. It's one of our favorite things in the world. And we really got to joke the other day when he got fired. But guess what, Cowboys fans? Kellen Moore has Jason Garrett's disease. He loves watching balls fly through the air, and he is asking Dak Prescott to throw 40, 45, 47. Earlier against the Bucs, it was 58. To lose that game at the beginning of the year, he loves to watch the ball be thrown. So I'm just warning everybody now, because, Trey, here's the stat I looked up. Right now the Cowboys average 42 passes per game. It's 23 runs if you want to know. Of the 55 Super Bowl champions, how many of them average 40 passes or more per game in the regular season?
Zero.
None is correct. Absolutely none. Both teams that made the Super Bowl last year, 39 per game. You go back through the years, Peyton Manning, 38 with Denver, 35 with Indy. Go back to Greatest Show on Turf with Kurt Warner, it's 33. Cowboys fans, here are your averages for your Super Bowl wins. 26, 27, 31, 30, and 31. No team in the history of the NFL has ever won the Super Bowl throwing 40 or more balls a game in the regular season. Ever. Not once. It's never happened. Kellen Moore is attempting to do something that has never been done in pro football. And I know fortune favors the brave and all that kind of stuff. But Cowboy fans, I am warning you right now. He is giving you the message. He's telling you what he's doing. He is becoming a throw-happy offensive coordinator. I love all the cute stuff too. But Trey, if this keeps up, they ain't getting anywhere near the Super Bowl if he's going to keep averaging 42 throws a game. That is way too many.
And you could maybe justify it in a game where Dak is on fire, where he looked like Dak from early season or last year before the injury, and if he had his slate of weapons out there. But Dak looked really pedestrian considering what those final numbers were. Last Thursday, there was a lot of dinking and dunking and checking down and him not feeling comfortable throwing the football down the field because he can't trust his receivers. And I understand that Zeke is dinged up. That was evident in the game on Thursday, the injury that he suffered the week before.
You're
Cowboys
right.
are talking about
yep.
maybe giving him a little bit of a break now. Tony Pollard looked great, though. So to give him the football a couple more times versus dropping back to pass, I don't think would have hurt their cause in trying to win a game that ultimately they lost, perhaps in part because they tried to throw it so much.
Gallup, Wilson, and Brown combined for 27 targets in that game. And the tough part is this offensive line I know has its issues because when Tyron Smith doesn't play, everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
But they got him back against the Raiders, if I'm not mistaken. He played, right?
He did.
Tyron Smith, I think he played. So
didn't look very good.
No, he didn't. And what happens then is if you convince yourself you can't run or you don't want to run, well, then teams are going to come attack you. And then you've got, again, this is Dak throwing two lesser receivers. And Kellen Moore just told you, two straight games, 43 and 47 pass attempts. So what do you think he's going to do Thursday night? McCarthy's gone, offensive line coach, assistant coach, strength and conditioning, assistant strength and conditioning, and he's missing Steele. If Tyron Smith plays and Cooper and Lamb play, how many times is Dak going to throw it? 55?
Well, they better be careful about dropping him back too much about against that Saints front because they will play a very, very physical game at the point of attack, and they'll also get after the quarterback as well with Cam Jordan. Davenport's really come on this year. I mean, the Saints are a force to be reckoned with in terms of that pass rush. So the Cowboys had better be careful, and if nothing else, try and help neutralize that pass rush by making sure the Saints understand that you will run the football.
Yeah, and I understand that I'm the old man fan here, and I'm the old guy that loves defense and running the ball or whatever. But, again, the Patriots, the Bucs and Chiefs last year each averaged 39 passes a game in the regular season. There's no other teams that have won the Super Bowl that have ever done it the last 5 years. Nobody gets to the Super Bowl averaging that many throws. You just can't do it. You've got to stay balanced to a point. So if you're like me and you look at a box score and you see 40 or more attempts for your quarterback and it sends shivers up your spine, I just discovered last night there's a reason why. Because it's too many.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one's ever done it. Kurt Warner didn't do it. Steve Young didn't do it. Joe Montana didn't do it. None of those guys did it. When Joe Montana won back-to-back Super Bowls, they averaged 31 and 30 passes per game regular season.
Mm. And the idea of balance has obviously changed a whole lot since then. But
sure,
the run game is still very important. Just look at what happened in college football and pro football this weekend. How did Michigan beat Ohio State so authoritatively?
Ooh.
They jammed the ball down their throats over and over again with pretty mediocre quarterback play.
297? Is that
right.
What it was? And 20 pass attempts. That was Jim Harbaugh's dream, including the snow.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't have drawn that one up any better. I want it snowing. We're going to rush for 300 yards, and my guy only has to chunk 20. But we'll take our shots.
As soon as I saw snow in the forecast in the pregame literally 5 minutes before kickoff, I said to myself, yeah, Zay, Chad, and I probably all missed this game when we picked it a couple of days ago.
God, I was so glad to see that.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good to see. Just keep an eye on it. By the way, another team I didn't mention, the Mahomes Kansas City team that won the Super Bowl over San Francisco, that's one you would think, well, come on, Chad, they were throwing it all over the field. They didn't go 40 times a game. No, 36 pass attempts per game regular season. So I'm just telling you, he is six full passes past that on average right now, and he's doing it without his best receivers in the game. I just don't know if Kellen Moore and the Cowboys can win the way they are thinking about winning right now. So if you're a Cowboys fan and you think they are Super Bowl worthy or you thought they were, I would tell you, you got to drop some of your needs. I've dropped all the way back to win the division, win a home playoff game, and hope you win a second one. That's where I am right now. That's where my expectation was before the six-game win streak. I might have increased to, oh, you know what? They might be able to get that second playoff win. No, I am whittled all the way back down to just be the best team in your division, win one, and see if you can go get two. That might be their ceiling this year.
Yeah, because the other problem for you right now is you've all of a sudden become really bad at defending the opposition through the air.
Yeah. Which was going to be a concern right from the beginning. They figured out ways around that throughout the year. And let's face it, sometimes they played clunky teams.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go too crazy when you beat, you know, New England as they were learning.
Or Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts back there.
You beat Philadelphia. Okay. You beat Kirk Cousins. Congrats.
Yeah, we saw true Kirk Cousins yesterday lining up under guard in a crucial situation in their game against the 49ers.
And are you watching how bad the Atlanta Falcons are right now?
Yeah.
Like, you can't brag on that one.
No.
I mean, they're getting trounced by everybody. They're terrible.
Big Ben looks like he can't really cut it as an NFL QB anymore. I don't know what that makes Matt Ryan then.
I don't either.
Matt Ryan makes Big Ben look all pro right now.
Yeah, so there's a lot of weird stuff going on with the Cowboys. But Thursday night, no Mike McCarthy in addition to all their other issues and no Terrence Steele on the offensive line. Cowboys fans, cross your fingers that Cooper and Lamb are going to be able to go.
It's just Monday, and isn't the protocol in the NFL that if you get two negative tests in 24 hours that you can be back on the sidelines?
That's what I thought, especially since he's a head coach. We know he's vaccinated.
Right.
Right? The whole staff has to be.
Why has he already been announced as out? I don't understand that.
I don't either. But as you and I have both noted through this whole process, the way the NFL, forget all the other leagues for a second, but they're one of them. The way the NFL looks at all this stuff has confused us throughout.
Yeah.
I have no idea why already he's going to be out. Why? What would they tell us? He needs to go through 10 days of quarantine? Why? Why would he need to go through 10 days of quarantine?
He's vaccinated. That's not the rule, or that supposedly wasn't the rule when all of this was announced back in June.
He did test positive. Maybe he tested positive and he's got symptoms. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, but I think that it's once the symptoms subside and you test negative 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
Like, how would they know that on a Monday morning?
He could feel better.
He could feel better tomorrow, and then he has two straight days, or he could feel better on Wednesday and have two straight days of negative tests, and he's good to go.
Could be that Kellen Moore just told him to rest because he wants to throw the ball more. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe. Let's go really deep here. Maybe it's Jerry Jones trying to convince Kellen Moore that he doesn't want the OU gig by giving him the opportunity to serve as a quasi-head coach for the Dallas Cowboys for a game.
They make those 60 times on Thursday night, I'm going to tell you.
Jerry Jones is making a wish this thing.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Hopefully he doesn't end up loving him as much as he loved Jason Garrett, because we all know he loved Jason Garrett through the years. All right, coming up, Joe Cook of Inside Texas and On3.com. Longhorns get the win to stop the losing streak, and then they get the weird gift of Lincoln Riley being out at Oklahoma and headed to USC. We'll talk about all of it with Joe coming up. Then at 1:30, we get back into that wild weekend in college football and setting up for another committee vote tomorrow. And how about SMU? They lost their guy, and I think they found a new one. We'll tell you who he is on the horn.